I learned, I've always known that in other jurisdictions, the transmission distribution utility could, in some instances, participate in the retail segment, but I didn't realize how dramatically different that was until I started practicing in other jurisdictions like Illinois, for example. So in Texas, that retail electric provider is the only one that gets to interact with an end-use customer. The generator doesn't get to, the transmission distribution utility does not get to, and they protect that very strongly. So practicing in Illinois now recently, where they have deregulated natural gas and retail electric markets, the utility also sells to the end-use customer. And they generally have the best price, or one of the lowest prices at the time. And it makes it extremely difficult for retailers to compete. So just to give you an example, in Illinois, they just passed some legislation, some consumer protection legislation called the HEAT Act. And basically, it requires every retailer on all of its marketing materials to disclose the price to compare, or for the gas purposes, the gas utility supply cost, which is the utility's cost. So imagine that. Again, you're a retailer, you're purely competitive, you bear all the risk. So I have a product and I'm going to sell you for, 8 cents a kilowatt hour, but within that same marketing material, I have to tell you that the utility will sell for seven. So I have to market for my competition there. So it's an interesting notion that Texans just have not ever had to deal with. And I've learned to greatly appreciate the fully, full-blown, to quote some deregulated aspect of Texas. It's distinct and it's unique. It's part of why we call the ERCOT market the Texas miracle. And then, of course, the last segment, which I think a lot of times gets lost, but I think is the most important, is, of course, the end users, the customers. And one thing that we liked to do a lot at Tesla and SolarCity was talk about how to empower them and how can they be role players in this, whether it be economics or whether it be providing stability to the grid or just having all the fun gadgets that come along with the energy world as a whole. So I have to note that I think part of the reason the ERCOT market is the Texas miracle, as I like to call it, and it's so unique is because it's actually, it's so perfectly laid out that I actually think that is what makes it actually fragile. Other jurisdictions might call it vulnerable. Actually, other jurisdictions have called it vulnerable. When I tell people that we don't have a capacity market in Texas, I tend to get really wide eyes sometimes. How is that possible? How do you not have that insurance policy? How do you not have that backing? How can a market be that lean? But it's worked for the most part. We don't really have a big problem with outages and brownouts and blackouts and sort of system-wide methods or system-wide ways. And to a degree, shouldn't utilities and shouldn't the energy world be lean and mean? And doesn't it result in lower rates for end-use customers? Yeah, I agree. Mr. Magnus said a little while ago that it was an intricate balance, and I think that's a good way to describe it. But the problem that creates is what the title of this presentation is about, is that it may not allow for innovation. If everything is just right, well, perhaps then batteries won't be included in the conversation, or not as much as they should be, or it'll take a lot longer to get to where we should be. So part of the problem is that price formation and things are so lean and mean, and I probably don't have to tell most of the folks in this room, it's hard for generators to make a penny these days, and it's hard for retailers. It's hard for the competitive segment to make money in Texas these days. And there's this interesting stress between scarcity in the market creating better prices, between actual stress on the grid, between stress of folks that are cut on the grid, and the actual prices that are available to generators and then retailers to then make money for their investments where they bore all that risk. As soon as you get into the business of providing distributed generation or demand response or energy efficiency, or if you can plug in a battery to mitigate an overload, all of a sudden you're cutting the peaks off of those scarcity price signals that are out there in the market that keep the entire competitive segment alive. And that is why when AEP proposed this, AEP being a transmission and distribution utility that wanted to plug in batteries in areas on its distribution system where it had outages and overloads, which would, at least for the case of the overload, would mitigate that price spike, you had the entire market, and I'm not kidding, the entire market come out against this. So therefore, we went through this contested case, which turned out to be a great case. It was a fun case because it's one of those few examples where you find that technology has surpassed law and the policy in place, and it pushed the limits of the ERCOT market. And to see that was a fun thing to try to work on and to try to push and to try to move to the next level. And so I enjoyed working on that case. For those of you that have worked on rate cases, sometimes when they roll in the dolly full of spreadsheets of accounting, you're not enthusiastic about it. But all that to say, it was a fun case to work on. You know, another thing to note is that, you know, I don't mean to make light of how the generators are struggling right now, and obviously throwing this idea up would make it more difficult for them. You know, for the longest time, they've worked with the PUC and ERCOT to try to fix that. How do we patch that up? There's been a lot of blame, you know, based on low gas prices and, of course, subsidized wind generation. I think that's part of it, and they certainly don't want to add anything else to that. So now going back to the previous slide where I talked about battery capabilities, just wanted to show, and I'm sorry if this slide is a little fuzzy. I hope you can see it if you got the printout or the digital format. But I like to show this because, you know, the big reason that we were pushing batteries so much is because it seems to be the ultimate bridge to a lot of things, and it has a lot of capabilities that other generators or really just simply technologies just don't have and they can't do. And the reason I like to show this document is, this image is from the Rocky Mountain Institute. The presentation, which is a great one, I highly recommend it. It's The Economics of Battery Energy Storage. It came out in October of 2015, and it's a really great document. If you want to try to study what it is that batteries can do for the grid, what it is that batteries can do for an end-use consumer.